Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of High Velocity Radio, and this is going to be a good one. Today on the show, we have Larry Gaynor, and he is CEO and founder of TNG Worldwide and author of the new book, Take a Chance, 101 Entrepreneurial Lessons for Making It Big. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for inviting me.
I am so excited to learn what you're up to. Before we dig into the book, tell us a little bit about TNG Worldwide. How are you serving folks?
Well, it's a long story. That's what I wrote my book about. But currently, we are a manufacturer of personal care and beauty products. I manufacture over 1,000 products, and they're primarily sold on Amazon.com.
So what's the backstory? Were you always involved in the beauty industry?
I was involved in the beauty industry since I was 12 years old. I started my grandfather's hardware store in Detroit. And in the late 60s, I don't know how old you are, but I'm really, really old. Do you remember the show, The Mod Squad?
Sure.
You do?
Absolutely.
What was the guy's name? What was the guy's name?
Link.
Yes, Link. You're so your age. Okay, so what kind of hairstyle did he have?
Well, somebody had an afro. And there
he
was...
had the afro. That's it. So, you know, back in the 60s, all the black guys were wearing afros. And all our customers were black. And they're walking into the hardware store with their afros. And all our employees had afros. And I asked them, how do you take care of those afros? And they said, oh, you got to use the shine spray. So I contacted, there were three manufacturers of shine sprays. And I contacted all three manufacturers to come into the store because I wanted to buy direct. They all came in. They said, this is a hardware store. Why are you selling hair shine spray? Well, you can see all our customers are black and wearing afros. So they agreed to open me up. And after we opened up, we became the single biggest retailer in Michigan for black hair care.
Out of the hardware store?
Out of the hardware store. So that's how I got into beauty when I was 16. From the hardware store, I went, my father and I did not get along in business because, you know, I was into cosmetics. I introduced, you know, lipstick in the hardware store. He almost had a heart attack and killed me. That was one of those times when we had to open up a second store. So I opened up a discount health and beauty aid store in the suburbs, which was called Gaynor's. And from there, I opened the current company inside that store based on demand for manicures for professional nail supplies. And then TNG started in 1985 as a wholesale distributor of beauty products to manicurists.
So
the story evolves, over the years.
Now, were you ever a creator of products or always a reseller of products?
Well, that's a great question. So as a distributor, you're reselling someone else's brand. And over the years, we got cut off so many times from our manufacturers. I was forced to create my own brands. So over time, 30-40% of our business was our own brands and 60% was distributor brands. And then came 2020.
And was that good? I mean, was the pandemic good for you because or bad because people weren't kind of showing off how they look? So maybe they were staying in so they didn't need cosmetics as much?
So the pandemic was the biggest turning point for the company, my biggest pivot, because as we were manufacturing PPE before the pandemic. So we were manufacturing nitrile gloves and hand sanitizer and disinfectant and face masks. And when the pandemic came, all the businesses got shut down that weren't essential. All our competitors got shut down because they weren't essential. We were the only really business that was open. And the demand for PPE, as you know, went through the roof. And all of a sudden, we're selling to funeral homes and nursing homes and doctors and nurses and makeshift hospitals are opening up, but they can't find PPE. And they're calling us for PPE and we're supplying them. And I had to make a decision to focus 100% on manufacturing or keep the distribution business. And I decided to get rid of all the distribution business in March of 2020. It was like over 50% of our business. And it was a huge decision. And then we just manufactured more and more PPE during the pandemic. I even chartered a FedEx jet in China to bring 7 containers over of face masks and gloves because our customers needed so many face masks and gloves. Just to help keep up with the demand.
But then after 2 years, then what did you do at that point?
Well, actually, it wasn't 2 years. The country opened in June of 2020. We were still manufacturing PPE. Everyone started to try to get into the PPE business, and they shouldn't have. But because of the pandemic and because we were manufacturing PPE and because we were open, our products on Amazon took off exponentially. We started selling on Amazon in 2013. We were one of the first beauty companies to sell on Amazon. And because of that, our business on Amazon grew and grew. And today, over 95% of our business is Amazon.com.
So was that just kind of being in the right place at the right time? Or have you done something to kind of crack the code on how to be successful on Amazon?
It's a little bit of both. As I said, we've been selling our products on Amazon for more than 10 years, 12 years. We have more best-selling beauty products than any other manufacturer on Amazon. And because of the pandemic and because of the demand for our products, the brands Ginger Lily Farms and Four Pro Professional Collection continues to grow and grow. And today they're just both mega hits on Amazon. And I think it's all because of the pandemic and because we no longer focus on distributing other people's brands and we focus on our own brands instead, which in the book, I tell my readers, if you have your choice between being a retailer, a distributor, or a manufacturer, and you're into products, definitely be a manufacturer.
So does the knowledge transfer? Like if I have a product and I go, hey, Larry, I got a product I want to put on Amazon, like would your learnings help accelerate my growth? Or is this something that because you are in an industry, you already have kind of been there for a decade plus, so you already have kind of a brand, so then you're going to be successful in your brand, but it wouldn't necessarily transfer to my brand or what I'm doing in Amazon or the techniques and tactics similar?
That's a great question. And the truth is, you can launch your brand tomorrow and it could be successful. Yeah, I had a head start, but there's millions and millions and millions of resellers on Amazon and tens of millions of products on Amazon. But if you come up with a good product, a good value proposition, a competitive edge, you could be highly successful. And if you ask me which platform, which retailer, if you had a product that you want to sell to, should you select? 100%, I would say Amazon first, second, and third. The fourth one I would recommend would be Walmart.com. But there's still 5 to 10 years behind Amazon when it comes to what Amazon can do for resellers. Other than that, if you think you go try to sell to Target or Kohl's or another type of store like that, you're spinning your wheels.
So you would do online before you attempted to get into a retail store?
100%. Not only would I do online first, but we have our own website. And at one point, we had over 100,000 customers. Our customers don't even want to buy direct from us anymore. They want to buy our products at Amazon, because they're all prime shoppers. With Amazon, as you know, I mean, you're an Amazon shopper, right?
Sure.
Of course, we all are. There's 170 million prime shoppers in the U.S. alone. And they're all prime shoppers because they want your products same day or next day. With us, if we ship FedEx or UPS, they get their products in 2 days to a week. But with Amazon, they can order everything they get, and they can get it same day or next day. So yeah, I mean, we don't even need our website anymore.
Right, but what about the trade-off that you don't really have access to those customers? Like you can't go to Mary and say, hey, Mary, I got this new special, or hey, Mary, sign up for my club where I'll send you something every month.
100%. We had the best loyalty program in the professional beauty industry for more than 20 years, giving away millions and millions of dollars worth of rewards. Mary doesn't care about a reward program anymore. Mary doesn't care about an email blast anymore. Mary doesn't care about our education. Mary doesn't care about our trade shows. And Mary doesn't care about dealing with our sales reps. All Mary wants to do is go on her computer, her smartphone, her device, and order the products that she wants and get them the next day.
So that's
the way the world has changed.
Well, that's a big shift because, I mean, a lot of businesses, are thinking in a kind of a counterintuitive way. But you're saying, or what I'm hearing you say, is that convenience kind of trumps everything. And Amazon has the most convenient way to buy something online.
That's why Amazon, for the first time ever, is overtaking Walmart as the largest retailer in the world. when Jeff started his company, it almost went broke during the dot-com crash. He was a bookseller. Nobody thought that he would get close to catching Walmart. Nobody would get close to catching Walmart in business. Walmart's going to do over $600 billion a year in sales, and Amazon's going to overtake that. It's a phenomenal, something that it's like the solar eclipse yesterday. It's like something that you rarely can envision happening, and it happening. And not only that, Amazon has momentum because of AI. And AI, you could take the smartphone, the PC, and the internet. Those three amazing technological innovations combined won't be as great as AI is going to be in the next 5 to 10 years. And Amazon is at the forefront of that as well.
So now, how, as an entrepreneur, do you plug into this Amazon behemoth in order to maximize your chances of success? Because the stuff you're saying that isn't important, you know, in terms of email list and membership and things like that, Amazon is doing all of those things. They have my email information. They contact me constantly. They have a membership that I'm a member of. I'm a Prime member, so I get access to like movies and things like that. So they're trying to add more value to my membership. I get special delivery privileges and access to certain things. So how, as an entrepreneur, do I use Amazon to further my needs but still have some control over the outcome if Amazon decides to change the rules, which a lot of these third-party platforms change the rules when it's convenient for them?
Well, let me ask you, Lee, about the rules. I mean, the politicians change the rules. You know, the Starbucks changes the rules when, you know, to their loyalty program. McDonald's changes the rules. That's part of the game. Amazon has no requirements for selling your products. So as an entrepreneur, you can go on Amazon today and start selling your products tomorrow. There isn't a single retailer that you can do that with. If you want to get into a retailer, you have to deal with a rep group. You have to deal with the buyer. Then you have to deal with all the rules and regulations. And if the product doesn't sell, the markdowns, the returns, they don't pay you for 90 to 120 days. Amazon pays you in 30 days. Amazon rules are straight and clear. And if you play their game and you understand their game, which is the best game, you can succeed. You could take a chance and you can win, but you have to have a product that resonates with consumer. And what's great about the Amazon story and the website and the millions of products is you can search and analyze every category, every product, every algorithm that you need to figure out which attribute you need to succeed to introduce and launch your product.
So is that part of your process when you launch a new product?
100%. I launch between 50 to 100 products a year.
So what is your process? What are what's the first three steps you're doing when you launch a new product?
Okay, so let's take Ginger Lily Farms. Good question. We have the number one selling products for hospitality, Airbnbs, gallons of shampoo, conditioner, body wash, hand lotion, dish soap, and so forth. And now we want to launch a new product. So it could be a fragrance-free product because dermatologists recommend fragrance-free products to their patients who are allergic or eczema or psoriasis or whatever it is. And they recommend Seraphel. They recommend these high-cost products. Well, you go on Amazon and you look for fragrance-free products, and you see that they're very expensive. And I said, well, okay, so how do I launch a new product that consumers want? Well, I know that they want fragrance-free products, but they also want a value. So I introduce Zeroderm, which is a dermatologist recommended fragrance-free natural care line of personal care products. And it's one of our best-selling products. Now we have four amazing fragrances. We want to introduce another new amazing fragrance. So what do? Well, I go to Amazon. I look at retail sizes of personal care products, and I see which brands are selling the best-selling fragrances, what the fragrances are that they're selling. I also go to Bath & Body Works. I also go to The Body Shop. I also go to Lush. I look at what their new fragrances are, what their best-selling fragrances are. And then I say, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to add one of those fragrances to my line. And that's what I do. So you do your research with the best of the competition, steal the best ideas and apply it to your product. And that's what they do.
But then how do you stand out kind of in a sea of things that look similar?
So the secret, well, there's many secrets in my book that I share, but I think the biggest secret for your listeners is to develop a niche category and dominate it. So let's say, you know, I started in the professional beauty business with nails. Well, the professional beauty industry includes hair care, spa, nails, massage, facials, but the manicure part of the business is only 2%. So it's a very, very small niche business. But when you're the leader in a niche business, you make a lot of money and you could be much more successful than being a small guy in a big business. So look for the niche category and try to dominate it. That's my secret for your listeners.
So that's where you would start, is find a niche that is attractive, that there aren't a lot of players in it, and then you go in there with something innovative and then try to dominate it to the best of your ability.
100%. And, you know, all you need is a fragrance or no fragrance, a specific size that no one is offering. You need to offer a value proposition that consumers are looking for. And the thing about Amazon, if you search their algorithms, you learn so much information from them. And I search it every day. And the more you search, the more you learn, the more ideas you get for a product. And of course, you know, I'm in the product business. When launching my book, I did a big interview, extensive research program looking at Inc. 500 companies, Inc. 5,000 companies. 85% of those companies are tech. Very few percentage of those companies, 2%, 3%, actually manufacture products. So, you know, your listeners might be into tech offerings, apps, and things like that, AI, and not so much into products. But Amazon, of course, is a product company. And that's really my focus with entrepreneurs, is those entrepreneurs that are launching products and how they can be successful. And that's why I wrote the book for.
And then the book, what was there something that happened in your life that you're like, I better write some of this down? Like, did you have a near-death experience? Was there something happened? Somebody said, hey, you got too many ideas. Why don't you share it? Like, what was the impetus to writing the book? Because writing a book is hard.
Well, you know, I started the first blog in the industry. I've been writing, I started and sold 3 different magazines for the professional beauty industry. So I've always been a writer. But last year, January, I was on vacation with my son, middle son, and my wife. And I said, you know what? I'm going to write a book. And they said, you're going to write a book? Are you crazy? I said, of course I'm crazy. I'm an entrepreneur. So let me tell you, the day, let's say you drop dead tomorrow, right? What's going to happen to you the next day after you drop dead?
Nothing's going to happen to me.
Of course something's going to happen to you. The same thing that happens to you is the same thing that happens to everyone the day they die. What happens the next day?
That life goes on.
No, you get your accolades. Oh, you were the best father.
Oh, really?
This, you were the,
is that?
Yeah, everyone says how great everybody is after the day after they die. Okay. I mean, famous people, when someone's famous, like Jimmy Buffett, you know, passed away, you know, September 1st last year, all the accolades came out as soon as he died. And I said, you know what? I don't want the accolades to come out for me after I die. I want them to come out while I'm still alive. So that's one reason I wrote the book.
For your legacy?
Uh-huh. For my legacy, my kids to read, my employees, and then, of course, I wrote the book for the 5.4 million people who start a business every year in America. In 3 years' time, that's over 16 million people. And I said, you know what? I'm going to write this and write this book to help them out and help them succeed and not fail. Because 75% of businesses fail within 5 years. And why not give back to that community while I still can?
Now, in your background,
that's why I wrote the book.
Now, in your background, you have done some work with the Gallup Strength Finder folks.
Oh my God, we're a Gallup trained organization. Love Gallup. It focuses on your strengths, not your weaknesses. Your strengths are actually your talents. You ever wonder how, you know, a kid gets into movies and you're 6 years old.
Yeah.
You wonder what makes an athlete, an amazing athlete at 12 years old, like, you know, Tiger Woods, how he became one of the greatest golfers of all time, or someone that could sing, you know, like Kenny Chesney or Jimmy Buffett or Taylor Swift. They're born with these genes, and they actually somehow, some way, through their parents, figured out that they have these genes and they can be a professional athlete or physician or singer or acrobatic, whatever it is. Gallup focuses on your strengths as well. And there's 34 talents that they identify that anyone can own. And you take the StrengthsFinders 2.0 test, which you could buy on Amazon, $20, $20.75. And you learn your top five. And from your top five strengths, that's what you develop to be great at. And there's two ways of developing your strengths, and that is coaching and training. And that's why athletes are always coached and they're always training and practicing, because that's how you get better and better. And, you know, the thing with Gallup is you don't worry about what you suck at. You only are concerned with what you're great at and how you can make yourself greater. And if we took that mindset to all our employees, and, you know, employees are, you have good ones, you have bad ones, they have their strengths, they have their weaknesses. But if you only focus on their strengths and their what they're great at, you develop a core team and a business environment that is second to none. So yeah, it's a remarkable organization. And you might think of them as the Gallup poll, but really most of their business, over 95% of their business is helping other companies, just customer engagement, employee engagement, and community engagement.
And then a lot of that, kind of the theory behind it is focus on your strengths and kind of minimize your weaknesses rather than just pick at your weaknesses and try to improve them to be strengths. It's just double down on your strengths.
Yeah. I mean, do you have kids?
I do.
How old are they?
I have one child that's 26.
Okay. So let's go back when that child was 15 years old from high school, came home with a report card. There's 3 A's and a C. What's the first thing that you say to the kid that has 3 A's and a C?
Great job.
Great job. That's you. But most people say, what's up with the C?
No. Well, I'm a big believer in Gallup. So you picked the wrong guy. I'm all in on your thinking there. I am a big believer in, you know, having a superpower and doubling down and then eliminate or delegate your weaknesses.
Okay. So that 100%. And focus on those 3 A's and get that kid to develop those A's even greater, because that's what they're most interested in. They're not interested in the C, and forget about it. So yeah, I mean, that's what Gallup is all about.
Yeah, I've read their first book and then their second book, and I take all that to heart. I'm that resonates a lot with me. And it's funny because before the show, you mentioned my early podcast, Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. I was always the believer of focus on your strengths, and he was the believer in bring up your weaknesses. We would battle about this regularly, that he thinks that you should be investing time in making your weaknesses at least neutral, if not a strength. And I'd say you should be doubling down on your strengths and just be, you know, as good as you can be with your strengths and forget about your weaknesses.
That's right. You know, the world would be so much better if we all focused on what we did great and not what we sucked at.
Yeah, I think mentally you'd feel better. You'd give yourself a lot more grace.
You do. And, you know, engagement, I mean, you think about two people that get married. What's the period called before they actually get married?
What's the period? I don't know. What?
Engagement.
Engagement, right.
They're engaged.
Right.
I mean, that's like the best time of someone's life is when they're engaged before they get married. 50% of the marriages end up in divorce, but engagement is the most fun, the best time of someone's life when two people are engaged, and whatever that time period is. They don't get married during the engagement if they break off the engagement, but the engagement is, it's just, like you said, it's just the greatest feeling that you can own.
Yeah. And I think that, I love the way in your practice that you take this thinking and you make it an action in terms of your mission of 100% customer success. When you put that much energy and on a mission that is making sure your customers are satisfied, that motivates the whole team, and everybody on the team is clear on what the true north is for the organization.
Did you write are you my co-author? Did you write the book too? Because you think exactly like I do. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's it. And, you know, we haven't hired a single employee since 2019. Our average tenure at the company is now 19 years. People just get it. They love what they do. They 100% customer success. I mean, and again, our customers are the internal customers, the external customers, and community. And we take care of all three 100%. It's amazing.
So, was out of the 101 lessons, was there one that was kind of a, wow, that left a mark. Well, I got to make sure I write that one down. Was there something that was maybe a challenge that you overcame, or something you can share that maybe isn't one of the most easy or fun one of the 101 lessons, but one that was painful and that you learned from and were able to kind of grow from?
The reader is going to identify with most, if not all, of the lessons. An entrepreneur learns his lessons the hard way. And of course, one of my favorite lessons is not how many times you fall down the count, it's how many times you get back up.
Right.
I mean, another lesson that I think is important for entrepreneurs is starting out, money is always an issue. And, you know, money's an issue in families, money's an issue in so many instances. But to alleviate the money issue, a lot of entrepreneurs partner up with people. And partners is a terrible way of starting a business because you have the passion, you have the idea, you know, you have the gut instinct. Your partners don't have the same passion, the same gut instinct that you do, but they have money. So invariably, a lot of entrepreneurs will get into business with partners and they'll be a minority shareholder. And if it's not a public company, it's a closed corporation. One of my life lessons in the book is don't be a minority shareholder in a closed corporation because it just nothing good comes from it.
Right. With the right partner, you can do a lot of things, but with the wrong partner, it becomes not a lot of fun pretty quickly.
Not only that, but the chances of starting a business and lasting a business with a good partner is very, very small.
Yeah. So for you, what's next after this book? I saw on your website you do some coaching too. Is that something just to give back as well? Because you're running a big business.
You know, the coaching on my website, my publisher said, Larry, you know what? If you want to be an author, you have to be an authority figure. And to be an authority figure, you have to be a coach and public speaker and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I coach hundreds of entrepreneurs because I want to. I haven't charged for my coaching services. That's not my gig. So what's next? Right now, I launched one of the biggest pitch competitions in the U.S. for entrepreneurs. It's called Take a Chance, ironically, pitch competition. It's for Michigan residents only. $151,000 grand prize money. First prize is $101,000. And then there's six categories. And each category has a $20,000 first prize and $5,000 second prize. Mm-hmm. And to give back to the community and entrepreneurs, I'm funding it 100% myself.
Wow.
So that competition is going on now in Michigan. Applications are open at takeachance.biz. The finals will take place September 6th in Detroit. And based on how that goes, I might expand it regionally in the U.S. and take it from there. But yeah, I mean, I love supporting entrepreneurship at the university level and coaching and working with students. So yeah, I mean, that's really my passion right now.
And then for those who want to get the book, obviously, I'm sure it's available at Amazon. Is there a website for your company, for the book, for everything? Or is there a central location for all your stuff, or where should they go?
You can buy the book at any major bookseller. So it's available. It just launched today. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You know, you can buy it at Walmart, Target. My website is larrygaynor.com. And the company website for product information is tngworldwide.com.
Well, Larry,
if you go to LarryGaynor.com, GAYNOR, you'll learn about my you'll see my podcasts that I've done, the book, the competition, and my blogs. I've been doing blogs for over 20 years.
Well, congratulations on all the success, and thank you so much for the work that you do. It's so important, and we appreciate you.
Well, Lee, I really appreciate the time for the interview, and hopefully your listeners love what we're saying. Because, you know, you've been doing this for a long time, and the thing about engagement and your strengths and doing things that you like, and you wake up and smile every day, and, you know, I go out to Mexico for a week, and, you know, I come back, and so how was your vacation? And you know what I say? Every day is a vacation.
That's right.
And people just get so worked up, and people are angry, and they're not happy, and, you know, you wake up breathing, it certainly beats not waking up breathing, right?
Absolutely.
So you got to be optimistic. You got to be happy with what you got. And, you know, I'm in Detroit right now. Today it's 73 and sunny. After we hang up, I'm going to, you know, go up and, you know, take a bike ride or take a walk. But yeah, I mean, you really, being an optimist versus a pessimist, it just makes life, you smile more. They say if you smile for 3/10 of a second and someone sees that smile, you brighten up that person's day.
Yeah.
And if we just smiled more, I think the world would be just a much better place.
I'm with you. Larry Gaynor, author of the book, Take a Chance, 101 Entrepreneurial Lessons for Making It Big. It's available now on Amazon and wherever books are sold. Larry Gaynor, thank you so much for sharing your story. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on High Velocity Radio.